Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Help us, Lord, to connect with you this morning. Help us to be able to hear and receive. Help us, Lord, to know that your presence is here with us, to set us free, to quicken us, and to give us life inside us to overcome whatever situation and problems and weakness we may experience today. We just bring you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. For you are worthy to our praises, Lord. And you are mighty, and you are great, and you can do all things. And you made possible for those who believe in you to do all things. Help us, Lord, to receive the truth in our heart and to be set free, free from bondage, free from limitations even. Because, Lord, you are the God of eternity is within us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So in the recent weeks, we've been really connecting all different parts of the Bible into, you know, to show that they're really, you know, one thing. The Bible is not just a series of teaching on different topics. Okay. It's not, you know, lots of different things that we had to learn. The Bible is actually is a book that is, you know, contain God speaking to us. Okay. And it's not that there are many independent authors that wrote the different books. There is only one author in the Bible. And that author is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that inspired everybody that put it together. And this is not just a book, but it's a special thing that God has prepared for us to be able to understand and connect with him. And he has a special purpose for this book. This is why the enemy tries to discredit the Bible, using all the possible way to do that. To try to do mental analysis and all the other things and all the waste of time that they do, when instead, you know, all the message, all the communication, all the things that counts there has been there from the beginning, and is God the only one that can open it up to us. It's not by our mind that we are going to grasp the Bible. It's not by our education we are going to grasp the Bible. It's by our connection with the other. Without the connection with the other, we cannot understand the Bible properly. And the Bible itself says that. It shows us very clearly in many places that the only way for us to be able to understand the Bible is that we get it from the other. And this is why Jesus, when he left, he said, it's convenient, it's profitable for you that I leave, because if I don't leave, I won't send you, cannot send you the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to be, he's the one that is going to open up the truth that been limitedly expressed through some people in the Old Testament, but today should be in every believer. And the day is coming, if we realize it or not, and it's getting closer and closer, that unless we actually have that connection and we have that revelation, we are not going to be able to make it in. We need to be connected with the other to be able to be transformed by what God tell us, the way God directs us. Okay, there are not many independent, different teachings. There is only one basic principle from the beginning of the Bible to the end. The Bible is a book that is Christ-centered. It was expressed in the Old Testament, but they did not understand it completely. But they reported what the Holy Spirit told them to do. If there is something that God did independently for us, is the creation of this book, the Bible. And if there is something that he personally made sure that is kept so that we could have it, he did it. Because he knows that that's the only way we are going to know the truth. That's why Jesus called the Word. Now, you know, we don't understand that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that the not prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. That means, you know, we cannot go around trying to interpret what the Bible says personally. We are not allowed to do that even. Okay. Because the only way we are going to get it, understand it, receive it, is by the Holy Spirit. It says, for prophecy, verse 21, never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, people that were in connection with God, and there were not too many to start with, spoke so that they were moved when they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, that shows the importance of really connecting with that. We are not getting men's ideas. We are not getting men's concept. We are getting God's communicating to us through some people that were open and got the message and reported, and God made sure that there was reported for us. So that we today could get it. Praise the Lord. Okay. So this is important, we have to understand. You know, as the Holy Spirit revealed this truth, this communication to this holy man, so we should receive it today to be able to hear what it's actually saying and to understand it. This is why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, because we need him. We cannot do without him and get anywhere with God. Because anything that we get spiritually is from him, from God himself. If we try to do things in ourselves, we are not going to get anywhere. Okay? And we have to be careful. When we start interpreting or reading or doing things from, you know, reading from other people, reading books about the Bible that are actually not written by the anointing of God, but are written by the reasoning of men. If you read stuff that's written by the reasoning of men, what you're going to go to is reasoning of men. So what you're going to get is confused, because it's not spiritual, it's fleshy. See, the fivefold ministry function is actually to let the God work through people, but it shouldn't be their idea that they're communicating. This is why he appoints people to do the work. It's not that they are self-appointed. The way it should work, if it's going to work the way God intended, is His way, not our organization, not our credentials, not our abilities. This is why the church for 2,000 years didn't get very far from the beginning. Actually, decayed at the beginning to the point that in the Middle Ages was completely corrupted. And the effect of that hasn't finished yet. Although, because since the Holy Spirit came back into the church at the beginning of 1900, things started to change. Men's get in the way and get ideas and mess up, and it's, you know, traditional men and other things come into the picture and mess up things. Anyway, the enemy is active and working. Are you following what I'm saying? He is not there. They are going to just give up and quit. He is going to do whatever he can to hinder what God is trying to do. And we have to have the wisdom to understand, the wisdom to know what we should listen and what we should cut off. One of the things that we have to realize that Christianity is not a mental, philosophical, social approach. Christianity is a spiritual relationship with the living God. And we have to function and operate and, you know, allow that to be the focus of our, what we are trying to do, or what, you know, God is doing in our life. We have to be careful not to add or subtract anything from the Word. That means if it says something that we don't know, we can't experience, or, you know, instead of saying, well, I don't understand it. No, that's the thing that indicates that you have to let God work in you so that you are going to understand it, and we are going to get into some areas that you didn't even know they existed. We don't feel comfortable about doing that. We don't feel comfortable about not being in control. Really, you know, the only way to connect with God is not to be in control. If you are in control, He cannot direct you. Jesus Himself says, you know, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing. He was completely dependent on the connection with the Father. The real connection. And for us, I mean, that's really the whole message of the Bible, from the beginning to the end, that is condensed, you know, in the last, you know, chapter 13 to 17 of the Gospel of John, but is repeated in all the epistles. The same message came all the time through, you know, how the way God wants is to have a relationship with us, and He explains how to have that relationship with us. It's not just a question of reading something and, you know, fall asleep. It's a question of really coming to the place in which that message becomes what determines the way we see things, the way we do things. That is so different from the way the world does. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we started late today, so I'm going to have to try to cut short some things here. Anyway. See, in the end of the Book of Revelation, in chapter 22, okay, says there, verse 18 and 19, say, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. You know, people say, you know, this book is talking about the Book of Revelation. No, no. God knew exactly what the Bible we like. Because He was in control. not the work of man. If we believe that there was an idea of man and we had a group of men, no, God was in control all along, and he made sure that we got in there everything that we need. The Bible is complete. Has everything that we need for life and godliness. But we have to be able to receive it. Let me continue here. See, I want to see. So it says, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that they are written in this book. And if one, takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life. That's a big statement, wouldn't you say? So the idea is that when we have to look at the Bible, we have to look at us, the Word of God, speaking to us with the purpose of producing some results in our life, not just so that we, feel okay, and I did my part of the work that I had to do today. Okay. It gives us wisdom and knowledge about this spiritual reality of our life. We are not just physical beings. The most important part in us is that we are spiritual beings. And we need to understand. And the way we understand is by revelation, unveiling, the discovery of what the truth are. And really, the key element, the key things, is the fact that the Bible is a book that is Christ-centered. Everything in the Bible deals with the centeredness of Christ. If we realize it or not, if you understand it or not, but all the teaching boils down, and we're going to see much more in detail. It talks about the mystery of Christ. Why is a mystery? Because you cannot get it any other way but by the Holy Spirit. That you may know about it, the theory, the philosophy, the things, but it's not going to do any impact in your life. Because when the impact is there, there has to be a spiritual manifestation. That means a supernatural manifestation. Praise the Lord. When I say, that the Bible is a Christ-centered book, I mean that we have to come to realize the meaning of those few words there. And no matter where you read, if you see some places it's clearer than other places, but if you see it's everywhere in the Bible. That's what Jesus said, in his teaching when he was on earth. That's what he emphasizes at the end of his ministry and the Last Supper from, for example, in John 13 to 17. And that what is repeated continuously in all the different epistles that are communicated to the churches, because if they did not understand what Jesus was saying in the Last Supper, they couldn't have a relationship with him. See, we had to learn to operate in a way that is not carnal. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, but you are not of the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you see, the ability to be in the spirit is fundamentally and essentially related to the fact that we, the Spirit of God dwells in us. That means stays in us. It's not that it just comes and go. Holy Spirit, come. Forget it. If you don't have it there, if you have it there, you stay there because it's not going to go somewhere else. See, that's religious ideas. Holy Spirit should be in us, dwelling in us. That's what Jesus said. We don't have, he don't say, no, don't leave me, Holy Spirit. You know, they take that, you know, psalm that David, you know, said, wrote, when he was backslidden. And that's not the example to follow. You just committed adultery and murder. Sure, he would say that. He had to repent and do something about it. But that's not the mentality or the approach that we should go before God. If you are not saved, yes, go right ahead and get saved. But once you got saved, God should dwell in you, otherwise you are carnal. And the Holy Spirit cannot do the work that you say. Well, okay, indeed, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, and that's what the final part of this verse says, you know, is important. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So we don't have the option to just go and take it and go our own way. The Spirit has to keep dwelling in us. Okay. And we have to be able to see that. Okay. We cannot understand the Bible. We cannot understand what God is telling us if we don't have the Spirit inside us. That's the bottom line. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, I often use this verse, but, you know, it doesn't sound like people get it. You know, these things that we also speak, not with words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. You see, the teaching has to come always under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not a mental exercise. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, that what it means, why comparing spiritual things with spiritual? It means simply the only spiritual thing that exists is the Word. So to be comparing spiritual things with spiritual means that, you know, the only way to explain the Word or explain the Scripture is other Scriptures. And so then it creates their understanding that you need. See, they say, you know, you receive, you know, that's so important. See, John 6:33 says, you know, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Okay. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. So the idea is very simple. Okay. We had to make that connection with him. Okay. The only way, that's the way to get discernment, because the natural man is not able to discern spiritual things. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says very clearly. Okay. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. I mean, receive, there the word is dekomai, which actually means, you know, cannot accept them. It's just don't make sense to them. Okay. For they are the foolishness to him. They are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, that is this comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know, discern, you know, to know is ginosko. That means, you know, not just understand them, not just know them, but actually spiritually experienced. Be able to receive them. Not only goes on, you know, because, you know, they are spiritually discerned. The word there, discerned, is anakrino, which actually means judged. You cannot judge spiritual things with your flesh. That means you cannot figure out what's going on. Judge means, you know, you say, well, this is right and this is wrong, this is the main. No, you cannot do that. Okay. Says, but he who is spiritual, That means, you know, that is connecting the understand the word, you know, judges all things. You know, there's lots of places that don't judge. That's what the word says. Oh, you know, we are just accept everybody. It doesn't say judge all things. That means you're going to discern what is right and what is wrong. What's happening today is what the prophecy of Isaiah said. You know, they call good bad and bad evil. Why? They don't have the spirit of God. They're carnal. That's the only thing they can do. Praise the Lord. But that's the situation that is today in the world. And we have to see that, and we have to protect ourselves with that. See, the point is, the key element for us is not everybody, it's ourselves. Okay? The major question, the basic question is, how spiritual are we? How spiritual am I? That's the thing that we have to do. Well, a born-again believer, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. He has inside his spirit, you know, everything is being cleaned up. As the Spirit of God is inside him, and all things are of God. So, in theory, he should be all cleaned up. The thing is that we are not just spirit. The spirit is inside us, the spiritual part, but we have a soul and a body. And those things, when you are born again, they are not affected as much. Your soul to a degree, just a little bit. The fact that you open up to the fact of the way God works. But hopefully you are going to keep there and expand that. The idea is that we have to transfer all the good stuff that's inside our spirit to our soul and to our body. I mean, in our spirit, we have complete victory, we are healed, we are delivered, we are set free, there is no bondage anymore. But really, you know, after you are born again, you may feel good well for a while, but the point is, you look the same, you sound the same, and you just not much different on the outside. The outside, inside, the biggest miracles happen. You were dead spiritually, and now you have God inside, alive, the Spirit of God in you. That's the greatest miracle that can ever happen. Okay. Want us to remember that. It's a powerful experience that should, you know, should make us place in a place in which we can allow what is inside you to be transferred to our soul and to our body. And when that is done in the fullness of it, we are going to be the way Jesus is today. He is the first of many brethren. And that includes sisters. Hello? There is no difference at that level. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, we have to understand that there are different levels of freedom that we get in our soul and in our body. I mean, some people are born again, they keep swearing the way they were swearing before. They keep doing all the same stupid mistakes they were doing before because their mind is not hasn't catched up. Her spirit is true. But, you know, but they receive also the Spirit of God. That means also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to prick them whenever they swear. To tell them, that's not good. He's not putting them down. He's guiding them to say, that has to be eliminated from your life. But you know, God has given you free will. And you have to make a decision not to do it. And you have to recognize and agree with him the fact that you don't want that in your life. When you do that, then automatically, because you repented, which means not simply that you turn around, you change the way you think about it. You know that that is wrong and you reject it. And then because you reject it, God empowers you with supernatural power coming from the Spirit to overcome, and that you get free from that area. It says, in the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins as you go through the process of the Holy Spirit. Just read John, 1 John chapter 1, and it explains very clearly all that process. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It, you know, enable us to transfer what is in our spirit, the power, the anointing, the understanding, the wisdom, everything that, you know, the truth that is in our spirit to become reality in your mind and in your body. So, you know, are you sick? Anyway, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And so that's going to be manifested as well. If you are in connection with the Holy Spirit and you let the Holy Spirit guide you into freedom, revealing you the truth. And when you accept the truth in your soul and embrace it, and believe it before it's manifested, what you're going to get is that it's going to be also, you know, getting into your soul, and you're starting to believe it with your heart. That means you're in the center of your soul, and it's going to be manifested in the physical. It's transfer. The old power of God that is inside you to the mind, changing the way you think, changing your attitude, changing your affections, changing your feelings, changing your will, and transferring to the body that is going to be manifesting God's glory in the physical. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the cleansing process the Holy Spirit does. Guides us into all truth. And the old truth is not the purpose of so that you know everything. No, the old truth, the fact that the truth sets you free. The truth enables you to be breaking the bondages of sin that were in the physical and the mental area coming from Adam. And you are going to be able to walk freer and freer in victory in your life so that you know what you get, you know what you know, and you are starting to walk in a way that it doesn't depend on what you see with your eyes, doesn't depend what you hear with your ears, doesn't depend on what you touch and what you, you know, all the other senses. It depends on what the Word says. The Word become your eyes, your all your senses. Your senses are based on what the Word says. See, the Word becomes the way you see reality around you, not what you see physically, not what you hear with your ear. And because of that, even your body is going to line up. When your mind and your spirit are aligned together, your body is one against two. Loses. It's overcome. It has to do what the other two say. So, if you're doing something wrong, say, swearing, and Holy Spirit will deal with your heart and changes the idea there and changes your position, you feel that's the wrong thing to do. You repent. I don't want to do that anymore. That is bad witness of what God is, then what's going to happen? And the power of God is going to cleanse you from that bondage to the work of the devil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We start walking according to the Word. we start walking according to the light that the world gives us, to be able to see the reality of what's going on in the, you know, in our circumstances, and be able to discern, to have the proper judgment, to judge according to God's judgment, the world, the situation, whatever happens around us, the reality. Because the spiritual reality is the true reality, not the physical. Spiritual reality doesn't change. The physical is here today, tomorrow is gone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that's so important for us to understand that we are not limited by the physical circumstances. We are not limited by psychological or philosophical ideas. All things are possible to them that believe. Are you a believer? Do you believe that all things are possible to you? To what degree you experience that? That's the key. And why we don't experience that? Because there is a lot of unbelief and carnality in us that needs to be dealt with. You know, Jesus leaving left the message, "This sign shall follow them that believe." And then there is a long list of spiritual things that you cannot do physically without, if you are not empowered by the Spirit of God. Speaking tongues, you know, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Drink any deadly thing and it does not affect you. I mean, all these things. This is what Jesus said. This sign shall follow them that believe. And he left and they were doing exactly that. Going all over and actually practicing what he said they would do. That's the demonstration. Okay. That that was true. That's what Jesus said also, even, you know, before he said that statement after he was resurrected, but even before he was announcing that. He was announcing that. And see how is our walk is a manifestation of what is inside us. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. That means, you know, we have to walk by according to the word instead of what we see, the circumstances or the reason that we have in the world. Okay. But there should be one of the things that really, when God met me the first time, is to see, you know, that his power is not in religion. It's not by following formulas. It's not by doing certain things. His power is everywhere, and he can do everything. And when I say that all things are possible that them believe, it just meant that. And Jesus, before leaving, announced that. So that we may know it, and to the disciples especially. You know, the manifestation of our walk is our spiritual condition. Praise the Lord. Okay. In John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you," this is Jesus just before he left. Okay? Just right there. "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will do also. And greater work than this he shall do, because I go to my Father." I mean, you know, lots of people have a problem, even minister, a problem actually talking about the scripture. Because they don't have any evidence of that. That means, you know, according to Jesus, they're not believers. If you are not manifesting that, then you are really, according to Jesus' definition, you are not a believer. We should expect that to be the case. So we should expect That he, the same work that he did, he shall do also. And he did, you know, the work that he's talking about there is not going around and doing things, is actually producing miracles. So he has expected us to be miracle workers. And people really have a real problem about really making that statement and being convinced and believing it. But, you know, he makes a bigger one too. He says, and greater works than this will you do because I go to my Father. Now, many even try to say, oh, you know, because we are so many people and we can do. That's nonsense. They don't have the revelation from the Spirit of God telling them what that means. You know, when I find that scripture, I ask the Holy Spirit, what is that? Because our mind cannot grasp that. And the Holy Spirit told me, there was something that Jesus couldn't do. He could do everything, could he? No. There was something he could not do. He could not save people. He could not make you born again. Could he? The only time when he could do that is after he was dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now we can get people saved. Why? Because he's going to the Father. And he is the one that's doing the work in us. So you cannot save anybody yourself. Is the Spirit of God in you that is ministering to them at the spiritual level? If you are not at the spiritual level, you are doing nothing. You are just making another person religious. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We can do greater things because Jesus is in us and he's working in us and he's manifesting us through us. Any miracles that we are called to be miracle workers. But it's not our power. It's his power. If we are not connected with him, if we are not the branches and he is the vine, then there is nothing is going to happen. We are going to go through the show, but it's not going to happen anything spiritually because we are not spiritual power. The spiritual power that we have is because we are born again and his spirit is inside us and he wants to manifest us. But if we don't connect with what is inside us, we are not going to get anywhere. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't think probably you ever heard that before today. Because I never saw it any place. Jesus had to send the Holy Spirit in heaven, from heaven, to us, so that we could. Before I was, you say, why do we pray in Jesus' name? What does it mean that we pray in Jesus' name? It means that we are his representative. That we are, you know, doing that, and he's behind, backing us up. With his power, his anointing, his dynamis, spiritual power. So, you know, we shouldn't be concerned about us being able to perform anything. The only thing we should be concerned is to be connected with him and then do the things that he told us to do. See, all the responsibility of fulfilling the thing is not in us. For us, our responsibility is to be connected with him. So that he's inside us. And he will manifest to the degree that we are actually aligned, believing, being believers in what he said he would do. Praise the Lord. This is what Peter demonstrated at the beautiful gate. I mean, he said something that lots of people today would say, I mean, how can anybody say that? What do I, I was asking mom, the lame there, and he said, what do I have, I give to you. Jesus knew that he had the power of God himself, within himself, that he could give it because God, Jesus himself, has given the authority to the function to do that. So he could say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk, and he grabbed them and pulled it out. But if you do that, out of your own presumption, you're pulled out, and it's going to just not work. Yeah, thank you. Are you following me? I give you another example, and now we're going to close with that. Smith Wigglesworth. He was working on the anointing, with the anointing of God and with his guests. And he was doing miracles all over the place, but he was pretty strange in some things. He was pretty bold. Sometimes he would punch people. Once he kicked the baby from the stage. So I'll tell you a story that actually is a true story, this. It's not a story. It's something that happened. There was this woman that had cancer in her belly and it was like pregnant. It was a very advanced stage, didn't have any strength whatsoever. But was taken at the meeting by other two ladies. And they knew that all the time that he was calling for people for prayer, says, the first one that comes here is going to be healed. So what did they do? They went in the first row there to make sure that they were able to bring the lady, the cancerous lady there. So he said that, and they brought the lady up there, but she couldn't stand up. They had to, one and the other, hold on both sides. And because we will say it. In Jesus' name, be healed. Not a long prayer. Nothing. Then look at the lady. Let her go. They say, oh, it's going to fall. Let her go. And just very, very strongly telling them what to do. So they let her go. And the lady, boom, on the floor, screaming and screaming and yelling. And you look at them, pick her up. So they pick her up. Let her go. They didn't want to let her go. There was already a big scene there. She had to say it two or three times, and finally they let her go. Fell on the floor, screaming and yelling. Nothing happened. So she looked at the lady again. Pick her up again. So pick her up. Somebody from this, from you know, the meeting starts screaming, you beast, leave her alone. He wasn't intimidated by somebody acting up. So he looked at him. You mind your business. I know mine. Pick her up. So they picked her up. Let her go. Again. Had to scream two or three times. But finally they let her go. And she fell. She was completely healed. Now, they tell us something. You see, he didn't care what anybody else said. He didn't care of the reaction of the people around. He didn't care what the way they were judging him. He cared to do what God said to do in the word, and he was going to keep doing it until it would happen. And she was completely healed. It was the whole thing, the whole cancer came off right there on the stage, and she was going away with strength now. See, this is what believers should manifest. He refused even to read the newspaper because he wouldn't contaminate himself with thinking what was written in there. You know, Samuel, I don't know if you know him, you know, went to visit him. He was a young minister at that time. Now he's passed away. And he had a newspaper in his hand. You know, knocked at his door. He opened the door. Said, can you come in? No. Get off of that thing in your arm. See, that the thing we had to understand, that if the things we are exposed to are going to affect us, the things we accept, they're going to have an effect on us. You know, if we want to have the result that the Bible talks about, we have to be determined. We have to be having the courage to stand about criticism and opposition. We need to take position to stand against anything and to believe God. Then we are going to see the supernatural taking place in our life. Otherwise, it's quite unlikely you're going to. Sometimes God is so good and works through some other people, they're going to do it for us. All right. Well, I covered some of it. Praise the Lord. We started late, but it's never too late to make changes. It's never too late to break through. When you broke through, you know, the attitude, your position, the way you feel about yourself, the way you see yourself changes. See, Peter wasn't there. Maybe God doesn't, you know, maybe if God's will is. Wasn't that the idea? Wigglesworth wasn't just thinking, maybe, you know, if God wills for you to be healed, it's going to be healed. No, he just knew the word says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. So it's a fact accompli. It's finished. What we had to do is to believe it and stand there and take a position and walk by it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. You get anything today? We didn't have too much time, but praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you that your word is truth. Your word is spirit and life. And Lord, we come to your word as believers. We come to your word to receive from you because we can take it, Lord. Because we are born again. Because our spirit has your spirit in us. And we are with you. And you are in us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that the power of God can be manifested in us and through us for the things that we need and for the things that the world needs. Help us to come to your word and to receive, take what is ours and start seeing ourselves the way you made us so that we may not go walking in the flesh, but may continue walking by faith in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you need prayer or whatever, we can pray together. If you come for prayer, you have to come believing, because just my faith is not enough to overcome your unbelief. Okay. My faith has to be joined with your faith, not with your unbelief. Because what you do is dilute all the faith that I have, and then becomes a mixture of nothing. This is why sometimes, you know, I'm going to add another minute of teaching here. You know, in Nazareth, Jesus could not do any mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. The unbelief stops the anointing of God. When he was in Bethesda and that blind man came to ask him for to be healed, you know, of his blindness, Jesus didn't pray for him right away. Why? Because Bethesda was a place that he said, you know, if, you know, I would have done the work that I do, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah that I had done in you, they would be saved. But you are not, because of their unbelief. So he had to take that blind man out of the city to pray for him. And he had lots of unbelief because he didn't receive right away. He started seeing people like trees moving. He had to pray twice for him. Wasn't because he didn't have enough faith to do it. It was the guy who was immersed in that atmosphere. He took him out of that city to be able to minister to him. So what I'm telling you, if you come in faith. And if you, you know, don't have the faith, just go to the Word, see the thing, see the basis for your faith, and stand on there. Okay. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord.